Well, good morning, Harmony, and welcome to our online edition of the Sunday morning service. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and this morning we'll be in Genesis chapter 41, looking at the whole chapter, and we'll be preaching on out of prison and into the palace. Out of prison and into the palace. And we're talking about Joseph. But before we begin, let's pray. And we have a lot of members of our church that are sick, some dealing with cancer and struggling with different things. And so we want to remember them in prayer. And we also want to pray for all the churches that are meeting and those that are not able to meet. And we want to pray for them as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us be in the service this morning. I do pray for all of our members. I pray for our shut-ins. I pray for Miss Lois and Joe. I pray for Miss Dot. I pray for Miss Virginia. I pray for those who are sick. I pray for Clyde and Myrtle. Miss Myrtle. I pray for John and Carolyn. I pray for all of our members. I pray for my wife. I pray for the children. And I pray that you just bless us. Strengthen us, give us healing. Pray you'd forgive me for my sins. I pray that you would cleanse me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd do a great work in this church. I pray for the other churches that are meeting, that you give them protection. And I pray for those that aren't able to meet. I pray that you would bless them, protect them, defend them, help them see how to get the gospel out. We just pray that you would help us. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. Now to begin this chapter, and it is rather long, but we're going to be moving through it fairly quickly and talking about this amazing story where Joseph starts out in the prison and he ends up in the palace with Pharaoh. And so the first thing we see in verses 1 through 7 is Pharaoh's dream. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Now these two full years, it's not certain how to calculate those, but Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says it's not certain whether these years are reckoned from the beginning of Joseph's imprisonment or from the events described in the preceding chapter, most likely the latter. What a long time for Joseph to experience the sickness of hope deferred. But the time of his enlargement came when he had sufficiently learned the lessons of God designed for him, and the plans of Providence were matured. You know, it's often said that God moves quickly, or rather that we desire for God to move quickly, but that God desires to move thoroughly. So God desires to work thoroughly in our lives, but we want him to work quickly and to move quickly. And so did Joseph. Joseph, 2 years prior to this, had told the butler, the chief butler of Pharaoh, when you get out of this dungeon, when you get out of prison and you go back to Pharaoh, remember me and explain to him that I was incarcerated unfairly, that I shouldn't be here, and help me. And the butler assured him he would do that, but he forgot. He forgot. And so Joseph has had 2 years, and the Bible's very careful to say the end of 2 full years. They were 2 complete years, and he's had 2 complete years of hope deferred. But now, God's going to move. Joseph wanted God to move quickly, but God was working a plan, and God wanted to work thoroughly. And he does the same thing in our lives. And so Pharaoh dreamed this dream, and behold, he stood by the river. This would have been the Nile, no doubt. And he's standing by this river, and behold, There came up out of the river seven well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. Now, kine are cows, so this is cattle. And they come up out of the river, and they look good. They're fat, they're well-fed, and they're feeding in the meadow. And so these are some nice-looking cattle. And behold, seven other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. So these other cows come up, and they are skinny and malnourished. And so Pharaoh is dreaming this dream. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the seven well-favored kine, well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time. And behold, seven ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. The word rank here means fatted or plump. So this was good-looking corn. And behold, seven thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. So these were some pitiful-looking ears of corn that were blasted with the east wind. Of course, in the desert, there are dust storms, sandstorms, and there are these wind. And the Bible frequently mentions the fact that destructive wind comes from the east. And I've got some pictures here for those of you that are watching, and you can see just the enormous sandstorms in Egypt and in the desert. And they're fierce. And the east wind blasts with tremendous force and tremendous heat. And indeed, it devoured the seven ears. Verse 7, and the seven thin ears devoured the seven rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Now the second thing we see is that no one is able to interpret this dream in verse 8. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, and there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Now, magicians means diviner, a magician, astrologer, an engraver, a writer. Only in derivative sense of one possessed of occult knowledge, according to BDB. And Strong's Concordance says a horoscopist as drawing magical lines or circles. And so these magicians were some people that would have been into astrology and into drawing. And they would draw magical lines and circles. And it's been theorized that these magicians would have been creators and interpreters of the Egyptian hieroglyphics. The Egyptians in the tombs of the pharaohs, in the pyramids, they have lots of these hieroglyphics. And these were called, along with all of the wise men, to interpret Pharaoh's dream. So basically, he's calling the best people he has, the people that can interpret things, that can use magic, that can use the occult, that can use astrology, that can interpret writings and symbols and things. And he's wanting to know what his dreams mean. And that leads us to point number 3, the butler remembers, verses 9 through 13. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there were with us a young man, an Hebrew, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dreams he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Now, the he restored unto mine office and him he hanged, that's talking about Pharaoh. And you'll notice that they're addressing Pharaoh not as you, but as he and him. And this was a formal way of addressing Pharaoh. So he wouldn't have said, you restored me, but rather Pharaoh restored me, or he restored me. It's just a formality. Now the fourth thing, Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. So none of the wise men or astrologers, none of these magicians could interpret Pharaoh's dream, but the butler remembers at exactly the right time. He'd forgotten for 2 years, and Joseph languished in the jail, or perhaps because he was a servant of the captain of the guard, he had a nicer place to stay, but nonetheless, he'd been in some sort of confinement for these 2 years, and his hopes were dashed, but now, at the right time, the butler has remembered, and God allowed him and made him remember. So Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream in verses 14 through 32. And Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And so Joseph wanted Pharaoh to know, it's not going to be me that does this. He wasn't looking to use God to advance himself, but rather he was looking to use himself and his talents to advance God. And that's an important thing. A lot of people use God to advance themselves, to advance their careers, to advance their positions in the ministry. A lot of people use churches to like they're in business or something. They will get in a church and build a small church up, and then their goal is to get to a much larger church with a much bigger salary, and then they'll skip to an even larger church or a larger ministry. And it's always about advancing them and using God and usually their people to accomplish their agendas. But Joseph used himself and his gift to advance God. And so he says, it's not in me. It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine or cows, fat fleshed and well favored, and they fed in the meadow. Now he's going to repeat the contents of this dream. And God had it recorded that it was repeated. And he records the dream again because he's trying to reinforce this dream and the interpretation of it and how important it is. And behold, 7 other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and ill-favored kind did eat up the first 7 fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored, as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up, 1 stalk full and good. And behold, 7 ears, withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears, and I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it unto me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Notice how quickly he answers. God has shown him. The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kind are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the 7 thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty years blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he shows it unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So the fifth thing we see is that Joseph recommends a course of action in verses 33 through 36. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Now, this was very necessary at that time, and this is a good course of action for everyone, even today, save during times of plenty, so that when you have times of famine, you will have enough. And this goes for spiritual things as well. Memorize scripture when you are on a spiritual mountaintop, because when you are in the valley, you'll need what you've memorized. Now the next point is that Pharaoh appoints Joseph second in command of Egypt, verses 37 through 46. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And would God the same could be said of us? Would that people could say of us, can we find such a person as this, a person in whom is the Spirit of God? And Joseph had the Spirit of God. And he was a man that was in touch with God. He knew what God was doing. He was a man of prayer. He's a man of God. And so Pharaoh recognized this. And I wish people could recognize it in us. And so the next verse, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. So Pharaoh has given Joseph ultimate control. He's not as high as Pharaoh, but Pharaoh says, I'm Pharaoh, and this is what's going to happen. No man's going to be able to lift his hand or foot without your approval. And so Joseph is a powerful person from prison to the palace. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And you see how long it's been when this whole thing started, and we found him in the beginning of our stories in Genesis. He was 17 years old and annoying his brothers with his dreams. And now he's 30 years old and he's second in command in Egypt. And he's got a, no doubt, a very beautiful wife, Egyptian wife. And he goes out throughout the land of Egypt, organizing things for when this famine comes. And so that leads us to the 7 years of plenty. Verses 47 through 53. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city. He laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, of which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, he said, hath made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So you see here, Manasseh and Ephraim, and these are Joseph's sons, and they end up, they had an Egyptian mother and a Jewish father, and they end up being a part of the tribes of Israel, the nation of Israel. And so God was working in this situation in more ways than one. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And that leads us to the 7 years of famine in verses 54 through 57. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Joseph for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. So Joseph is selling to them. He's making money off of this. He is an excellent manager for Pharaoh. He has charged basically a 5% tax and taken 5% of their crops and stored it up, and now he's charging them for the food to get it back. He's a genius. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. And of course, all this was a part of God's plan to take care of Joseph's family during this famine. They would have perished otherwise. God's plan was extremely complex and had many twists and turns, but it led to the right results. It led to the right results. Joseph went from being at home with his father to being sold into slavery by his brothers to being a slave and then a prisoner, and now from the prison house to the palace. Here he is, saving the nation of Egypt and thus saving the nation of Israel. So, extremely complex plan that God has here, as many times his plans are. And yet, with all the twists and turns, it leads to the right things. And that reminds me of a poem, and I'm going to close with this poem by A.M. Overton, He Maketh No Mistakes. My father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark, and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see, my eyesight's far too dim, but come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to Him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all He'll make. Though all the way, or through all the way, though dark to me, He made not one mistake. When Joseph finally sees his brothers and reveals himself to them, he saved them from the famine. And he says, "Don't be too hard on yourselves, guys. You sold me into slavery. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save much people alive this day." And so God makes no mistakes. Your life may be like Joseph's in some ways, where your dreams have come crashing down and things you thought would happen didn't happen, and people that you loved have passed away, and it didn't work out the way you thought it would. Maybe your marriage didn't work out the way you thought it would. Maybe your children didn't work out the way you thought it would. Maybe your church didn't work out the way you thought it would. Yet God's way may twist and turn, but He doesn't make a mistake. He's leading you to the place that He wants you to be. Just keep your faith in Him and follow Him, and He'll lead you to the right place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for that Your will is being accomplished in our lives. I thank You for the twists and turns that we don't understand, that no doubt Joseph didn't understand, but You had this plan for his life, and You have a plan for us, and I pray that we'll just follow You and keep our faith in You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.